This audio message is a production of The Fields Church, located in Mattoon, Illinois. We're a church community that wants to help you follow Jesus Christ, connect to caring people, and passionately serve others. Visit us online at thefieldslive.com.
Hey, welcome, man. What a great Father's Day. What a way to kick off a Father's Day here at The Fields and had some fun, and then just time of worship and just really getting just close to God. And that's what we're about, taking steps closer to God, knowing Him in a personal way. So we are glad that you've joined us today. Before I dive into the teaching on Game Changers, it's a new series all about how we can win at life. I'm going to share a couple wins that we've had, you guys have had as a church. Last week, we were winning all week long. We sent 39 kids to camp, 7 counselors. It was an amazing week of camp. Here's some of the kids. And the story behind this is we have a small group leader named Katie Kuzma. She's taken her group for the last 2 years to camp. Let's take a picture. Let's look at Katie. There's Katie, a couple of her girls with her at camp, and total rock star group leader who just invests in kids, and that we want to be a church that is investing in kids. Now, we want you to invest in your kids, and then we'll invest in your kids, and together we'll invest in our kids. And that's what I love about The Fields is at home, you guys are investing in kids. Here at church, we are. And that's why we're called Orange. And the orange principle is the heart of the home is red, and the yellow represents the truth of the gospel. And you put yellow and red together, it makes orange. And so when the home comes together and church comes together, orange is a part of who we are. And so we want to just invest in these kids. And this is a great win that Katie's taken her entire group to camp and just making sure that they're invested in. Camp is always, always life-changing. Youth camps coming up around the corner as well if you've got middle school and high school kids. Another way that we're going to win as a church is coming up next Saturday with Serve Saturday. On Serve, on June 23rd, we're literally going to get outside of the four walls of the church into the community and serve in Mattoon Charleston area. There's over 10 to 14 different projects that you can sign up and be a part of. So guys, listen, this is a great way for you to get involved and serve in a way that you're probably a little more apt to like jump in, get dirty and serve, whether that's outdoor work, cleaning and fixing and repairing and landscaping and all of that stuff. There is something for everyone, even kids. There's some good family ones that you could do the cookouts and the parks and things like that. So I encourage you sign up online. There's information on your info card. Go into thefields.church/serve. Go to the serve. Click there. You can do that here if you want to. When I'm speaking today, if you want to get on your phone and just pick your group, that's okay. And we really encourage you guys to get involved and say, this is how we're going to win in the community next Saturday as we tackle that. We partner with about 4 other churches, and there will be projects all across Mattoon and Charleston that we would love for you to be a part of. It's only a couple hours, usually about 3 to 4 hours on a Saturday morning, usually from 8 to 11, and then you're done. And so if you would give a few hours on your Saturday morning, we would serve our community. It will be awesome. Let's jump into the teaching today. New series, Game Changers. This whole concept of Game Changer is when something happens, there's this critical shift where all of a sudden everyone has this sense of like, that's a Game Changer. That just changed the momentum and the outcome of the game. And so in sports world, it could be the, you know, just a few minutes left in the game and there's the 3-point swish and all of a sudden it changes the momentum, the bench comes alive and everybody's excited. In the football world, that could be the big turnover. That's the big fumble or the interception that totally just changes everything. And the next thing you know, there's so much more momentum on the other team and they know they've got it inside of them that we are going to win. In baseball, it's the bases are loaded and the crowd is nervous because it's the away team that's up to bat, bases loaded, and home run, grand slam happens with the Cubs all the time. And it's 2-0 in the series, by the way, all you Cubs and Cardinals people. But I just thought I'd throw that out there, let you guys know. that the Cubs are winning the series right now. Anyway, so it's a total game changer when it silences the crowd when someone hits the grand slam if it's the away team, and they know that the momentum has shifted. Moms, it's when the baby starts crawling and then starts walking, and next thing you know, the blanket in the living room is not the only safe place. Then now they can go everywhere, and you're like, this changes everything. I gotta strap them into the living room, let alone the minivan. We strap them into the living room carpet or something, because they're going to run and go anywhere. It changes everything. In life, there are spiritual game changers. There's things that can happen where we're like, okay, this changes everything to help us win. And we need to understand that we need that. We need to have this idea that we want to win. So, dads out there, you're going to understand this one. I've coached my sons in a lot of their different sports they play. They play, you know, whether they basketball or football or baseball or even YMCA, dodgeball, all that stuff has helped. I try to be a coach when I can be a coach, and every kid we got, I've coached them at least once in one of their sports. Of all the teams I've coached and all the things I've done coaching, the toughest one, you'd think it might be basketball because I'm horrible at basketball and I don't know anything about basketball and I coach basketball, but that wasn't even that. It's this. It's T-ball. T-ball. And here's why this was so tough for me. Because see the Cooper here? He didn't win the championship here. He just played. Everybody got a trophy. Everybody wins this trophy in T-ball because they participated. And I'm going to be real honest with you. It's really hard. They don't. Three strikes do not make you out. And three outs don't end an ending. And in T-ball, nobody wins. And you play in the heat of the summer, and you get out there, and all the kids play, and you walk away, and you're like, nobody won. Like and I know Grandma. Grandma, like, your little kid got up there and hit the ball and ran to third base, and you thought it was cute, and you're videoing it, and you're taking pictures, and you're cheering as they run to third base instead of first base. But everything inside of me is like, no, we got to win. But the problem with T-ball is you don't win. Nobody wins. Like, nobody wins. Like, nobody wins except the concession stand. They win. But nobody wins. But here's the game changer. You go to the next level up, and all of a sudden, you do win or you lose. There's winners and there's losers. Three strikes is an out. Three outs does end the inning. And guess what? There's a scoreboard. And in the scoreboard, there's a winner and there's a loser. There's a tournament in the next league up. You can win the tournament and you can win the trophy. And all of a sudden, when there's a scoreboard, it is a game changer. When you realize, oh, I can win at this, or if you realize, you mean I can lose at this? All of a sudden, everything inside's like, now it matters. Now, I gotta be serious about this. And in life, I want you guys to hear this, because our world is not good at telling you this. There is a scoreboard. Parenting, there is a scoreboard. Marriage, there is a scoreboard. Your job, there is a scoreboard. Your retirement fund, there's a scoreboard. There's a scoreboard. There's a scoreboard to life. And even though in school, sometimes they just try to help everyone feel like you've just all participated, guess what? When you get to, you graduate school, college, there's a scoreboard in college. At job, there's a scoreboard. Guess what? You don't get to just show up and your boss goes, hey, just show up. I'm going to give you a little participation paycheck at the end of the week. You don't have to do anything. No, either do your job or get fired. And so it's because there's a scoreboard in life. And if I have one simple point today for us to understand and to kick off the series with, is this is my big point that I want you to know, is you have to have the heart to win. It all starts right here. You got to have a desire inside of you to want to accomplish what God has put in front of you. That could be your parenting. That could be your job. That might be you in the relationships you have in your neighborhood. That might be what it looks like to be, you know, in your financial status or what God wants you to do with your income and how you spend your money, how you steward your money. And there is a win at the end of life, and there are losses in all the areas of our life, all the areas of our life, whether it's parenting or marriage or your work or your future. There's something in us, we should have a desire to win because God's put us here with purpose. And he didn't just say, hey, go live life and at the end of it, you're gonna get to heaven anyway, so it just doesn't really matter what you do on earth. Not at all. We have to live with purpose and we have choices to make and we should have a desire to accomplish the goal that's in front of us. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he wrote the majority of the New Testament. We talk a lot about him because he wrote the majority of the New Testament. And he tells a little bit about himself when he writes to this church in Corinth. He starts giving the church, this is what I'm about, and this is who I am, and here's my goals and stuff. He says this. He says, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. So he's kind of letting them know, here's what I'm about. I just try to find some common ground, get to know people, and I do everything I can to save some. Help them know who Jesus is so they can go to heaven and not hell. Like he understood the reality of eternity. He goes, I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. He says, I've got this goal. I've got this mission. I've got this purpose in life, why I live my life, why I do what I do. And he says, because people are on a road to somewhere and the trajectory of their road either leaves them empty and lifeless without God or full of life with God. And he's saying, I'm wanting to help people transition so they're not on this road to nowhere, but a road to fullness with God. To be simple, it is a road that ends in hell or a road that ends in heaven. And Paul's saying, I have a heart to win these people. I have a desire to save some. He cares about their spiritual growth. He cares about their eternity. He cares about them as individuals. And he's letting the church know in Corinth, this is my heart, and I want them to know Jesus, and I want to win. I want to win. See, there's something about wanting to win that is so important. Now, most of you guys know, I've shared this before. I get the honor to be a team chaplain with the EIU football team. And as a chaplain, I get to hang with the players and speak and give some inspirational stuff, day before the game. But I also get to see underneath the hood, like at the game, in the game, minutes before the game, the halftime talk, what happens in the locker room after the game, all of those things. And Coach Kim, I just know when he gets in front of the team, there's nothing that no one's going to, he's going to let them know, we will win the game. We want to win the game. In fact, he says this quite often. He goes, I know there's no I in team. And usually I'm like, oh, this is so good for unity. And, there's no I in team. He goes, but there's an I in win. And so it takes you, and you have to ask yourself, am I willing to do my part to win? And I think that's such a great concept. Am I willing to do my part to win at life? And so there's strategy to football, and he'll get up there and before the game say, we're going to move the ball, we're going to score in the red zone, and we got to protect the ball when we're on offense, and on defense, we got to have big third downs, it's got to be the money down, we got to get the ball back, we got to win the turnover battle, we got to make the big plays. I mean, he's got all the strategy and all the plan, but at the end of the day, there's one objective. We are going to win the game. It doesn't matter what the game looks like at the end of it. It's we have more points than they do. It doesn't matter how hard we fight during those minutes. And even if it goes into overtime, we're going to win the game. Because there's one objective is win. And he has this heart to win. In college level ball, you have these games in the early part of the season. It's kind of called your money games. Bigger schools actually pay you to play you, to give them a little practice in their schedule or whatever. But so we've played big teams at Eastern. We played Northern. We played Minnesota. We start off this year with Arkansas. And I can guarantee you, Coach Kim's going to get in front of them who played for Arkansas and say, we're going to knock them in the teeth and we're going to win. They bleed just like you bleed. We're going to win the game. He's not going to get up there and go, hey, guys, doesn't really matter what we do at the end of this thing. We're all going to get this nice little participation ribbon that says we played Arkansas. No. He is going to, with all fire in his gut, tell these guys, we're going to win this game. Because you've got to have a desire to win if you're going to win. And we see that in Paul. Like, remember, the heart of Paul, he was someone who hated Christians. And now there's something burning inside of him to help people become Christians, become followers of Jesus. He went from wanting to kill Christians to now he's saving people to help them become Christians. And so then Paul goes on and he says this when he's explaining a little bit of his life. He says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? No participation ribbons in this one. So run to win, Paul says. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing here. I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what my body should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. He's saying, listen, whatever we would do, we take this serious, and that the race we're in, there is a prize, and you've got to win, and you got to have a heart to win. And we need to understand, in our life, we can win, and there's a prize. There's a prize in parenting. There's a prize in marriage. There's a prize in winning at whatever God has put you and put in front of you. People's lives are at stake, and we have to have the heart to win. For Paul, that's what he was thinking. There's people's lives here at stake in the balance. I want to win. I want to win. So here's what we learned from Paul for us to learn today to take it home. Number one is this, is we got to keep our eye on the prize. That's what Paul's saying. Listen, there is a prize. There is an objective. There is a winning circle. You do get to cross the finish line. He says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person's going to win the prize? So run to win. Run with it. Run to know that you're going to live your life today. So this isn't just sports. This is life. We are going to live our life today with the end in mind. So the way, if I can focus in on the prize, and that's the end, then I live today with the end in mind. If the prize is one day, Joy and I retire and we're old and the kids are gone and we have this incredible marriage as this retired couple holding hands, walking on the beach, sharing an ice cream cone. Now, I'm never going to share an ice cream cone. That's kind of gross. We'll share a lot of things, but like cereal and ice cream cone, no way. That's gross. You know it's gross, that's gross. So, but the idea of mind, what's that look like? And then you begin today. Like I start today building the marriage to get there. If we want to end with the releasing the kids, because believe it or not, they're not going to live in your basement forever. So, they think they might, but you're going to visually kick them out. Okay, it's time to fly on your own. And when they do that, you need to help them to live the life that they're destined to live. And so we're getting them there. I ask our kids a lot when we put them down to bed. And I just keep asking them the same question. But I'm like, so what do you think you're wanting to do with your life? What do you want to do when you grow up? Now, I can tell you from when they're born to they're 18, you're going to get 18 years worth of a lot of different answers from the same person. You know, firefighter, astronaut, doctor, whatever, veterinarian. They just, whatever. But I want them always thinking down the road. Because God's just putting things into their life, different experiences. They're exposed to different things. They're learning things through Scripture. God's teaching them things. And so as you keep asking them, hey, what are you wanting to do later in life? It makes them kind of start wondering, what am I going to do later in life? And you're helping them focus forward. And when they give you an answer, it helps you set them up to win and succeed. You're like, I'm going to help you get there. Because I have an eye on the prize. And as soon as our kids have got an eye on the prize, then we can help them achieve that. And so we want to just keep them focusing forward, because life is not just about the here and the now. We're all going to have to live in the future, and we want to make sure that we're doing the best that we can to get there and to have what we're wanting to do and what God has given us and the opportunities he's given us and the picture he can paint for your future. The question is, are we keeping our eye on the prize? And so we want to continue to invest in our futures. But the only way we can do that is we have to keep our eye on what that looks like to win at the end. The second thing Paul says then is you got to develop a plan. So remember, he said that, hey, every runner runs, but there's only one prize. Then he says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. So he's even transitioning, teaching this church in Corinth about sports into then real life. He goes, now listen, these guys are winning prizes. Now their trophies of their time literally would have been wrapped up wreaths that they wore on their head. And so, you know, it literally would fade away. Those things would get brittle, dry out, and they're gone, and they just wither away to nothing. And they're like, okay, you ran the race, you get your prize, but that thing eventually is going to rot away, and it's going to be nothing. Now, our plastic trophies may not rot away, but they will end up in a landfill somewhere. These athletes are disciplining their bodies in their training. They have a plan to train. They have a plan to discipline themselves. And he says, Shouldn't we do this for the eternal prize? Even though their prize is going to go away, ours won't, because our prize, we're investing in people. We're investing in ourselves. We're investing in the future of the other people and their spiritual lives. And we need to develop a plan. Develop a plan to win. Like, in other words, what he's saying is prepare to win. Like, good athletes, they prepare to win. They want to. And so in football, you know, a football player, especially, you know, when you get into college level and pro level, they spend much more time in the film room and the weight room than they ever do out on a field. You would think, oh, wow, they got to go do practice out on the field. You must be out on the grass or the turf a lot. They spend much more time staring at film, studying themselves, studying yesterday's practice, studying the team that they're going to be playing, knowing their enemy, knowing about themselves, you know, reviewing, studying, and looking over. And then when they're not doing that, they're back in this weight room pumping iron, getting stronger. Why? They're preparing to win, and they haven't even been out on the field yet. Because athletes know what it means to be disciplined in their training. And so we have to ask ourselves in life, what's it look like to be disciplined in our training to be a great husband, a great wife, a great mom, a great dad, a great steward of our finances, a builder of the kingdom of God, a great influencer at your workplace, a great neighbor who's influential in the neighborhood or in the cul-de-sac or down the block? What's it look like to develop a plan to be who God wants you to be? Because we don't just accidentally get the prize. We prepare ourselves to get the prize. And we prepare ourselves to win the prize. And just like athletes are disciplined in their training, we should be too. We should be very intentional about having a plan to get what God has put in front of us. The third thing Paul says then is we can learn today is to live with purpose. He says, so I run with purpose in every step. Think about that. I mean, he's given the analogy of a race and a run. He's like, every single step I run has purpose. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete training to do what it should. I run with purpose. I live with purpose. I do what I do every single day with purpose. See, our day is filled with choices and decisions. And when you put all these choices and decisions together, it forms your future. And so today's choices and today's decisions and what you're doing today, you connect all the dots. That's what your future is full of. And so if you're wanting to achieve the prize and you're wanting to win at life and win in the circle of parenting and win in the circle of being a great student, win in the circle of getting to a better college or playing a sport or being a part of a business or being an owner or doing whatever you're wanting to do, it's your future is determined by a bunch of daily decisions, purposeful, every step of the way. Paul is saying, I run with purpose in every step. When he was going and telling people about Jesus and going from town to town and writing letters to these churches, everything he was doing was with purpose. Our son, our oldest son, Dakota, he's 15, and now we have the opportunity and responsibility to train him in some purpose of driving. So there's a picture of me with him driving for the very first time. with me at least. So this was me giving him the keys, and we're getting ready to back out of the driveway. And that was a picture of peace and comfort on my face. Of, oh my gosh, here we go. Like, you know, they don't put the little brake pedal on the passenger side for the parents. Driver's ed people get that. We don't. We're just like praying. That's the only thing we, that's our brake pedal right there. It's like, Lord, stop this vehicle. But no, so he's taken off, and Dakota's a great driver. He's doing great. But to teach someone with purpose, every day we go out, Dakota, you can drive. If it's nighttime, hey, you need to learn how to drive at night. We're going to drive at night. It's raining. You need to learn how to drive. When we're going to Charleston and there's two lanes and you got to learn how to, what's that look like to pass somebody? What's that look like to know that you're far enough that you can get back into the other lane? When do you turn your signal on? When do you not? We talk to them about oncoming traffic. What do you think they're thinking? What are you going to do if they would swerve? What are you going to, we're training. We're putting all these thoughts in front. We're preparing him. It's with purpose because you never know what's in front of him. You never know what's going to happen in his future. So you're trying to throw every scenario out and just say, hey, listen, that we want to train you to be a good driver, and we take him out with purpose to be intentional, because there will be a day that I take these keys and I say, here you go, buddy, you get a drive, and I'm not going to be in the seat, and he's going to be on his own. And so hopefully we've taken the time and purposefully led him to be a good driver. And that's what Paul's saying. As an athlete, as a dad, as a coach, as a Christian, we need to train ourselves and prepare ourselves with purpose. We need to run in life every day with purpose. Every step we take, Paul says. So what's that race look like for us? So maybe it's a spiritual race. It's just your relationship with God. If you were to have a relationship with God and the race was just to know God in a personal way, we talk about it all the time. We end almost every service as, hey, you need to have a real relationship with Jesus. And so what's that race look like is you need to have an eye on the prize. The prize is the day that you leave this earth, the Father says, well done, good and faithful servant. Good job. You've done it. You followed me. You obeyed me. You lived for me. Good job. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's the prize. The prize is pleasing the Father, where he says, Travis, good job. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's keeping my eye on the prize, but developing a plan then is charting a course to get there. Every day I have to ask myself, what am I doing to make sure that when God looks at me, he's like, well done, good and faithful servant. And so I want to follow him with my attitude, my actions, the relationships, the words that come out of my mouth, my disciplines, if I'm reading, if I'm knowing him, if I'm talking to him. And then we live every single day with purpose. Every day we wake up, we have every day we wake up, there's this purpose to get to know God better. And because I want to be purposefully living. That's what it looks like if you're just running the spiritual race. Is eye on the prize, develop the plan, chart the course, and then live with purpose. Now let's look at some other races. Maybe it's the parenting race. If you're in the parenting race right now, then the prize is raising godly kids who will become godly adults. Jesus-following kids who will follow Jesus into their adulthood. That's the prize. Releasing our kids knowing that they're still following God when we let them go. So we need to what? We need to develop a plan to get there. We chart the course for our kids to follow Jesus and love Jesus for the day that we release them into their own adulthood. And we live every single day with purpose, knowing every day counts. Every decision I make as a mom or a dad, every choice we make as a parent, everything pours into and begins to build if they're going to achieve the prize. Every day matters. We every step has purpose, as Paul says. That's the parenting race. What if you're the good neighbor race? The good neighbor race would be, the prize would be being a good neighbor to help those around you know who Jesus is. So that would be the prize, is to seeing your neighbors come to become Christians, following Jesus. And so what do? We develop a plan to get there. What would it look like to help my neighbors get to know who Jesus is through our life? Maybe we need to take them cookies. Maybe we need to help them rake their yard. Maybe they've got little kids and we want to walk. We just help them out from time to time. We want to build a relationship with them. We want to invite them over for a meal or something. We need to chart the course and develop a plan to become the good neighbor that God wants us to be. And then we live with purpose every single day. We live in a way that your neighbor sees Jesus through your life. And that's what it looks like in the good neighbor race. How about the grandparent race? Maybe you want to be a grandparent that's winning as a grandparent. Now, in our network of churches, we have in Illinois, we have like the leader of all of the churches and that we look up to, and his name's Phil Schneider. He's like the superintendent of all of our churches in the state. And I was talking to him a couple years ago, and he's buying a house, and he's always like flipping houses or whatever. And he's like, next house I'm getting, I'm going to have a pool. I go, he's a pretty big guy. I'm like, Phil, you just don't remind me of a pool guy. You know, like someone is going to be swimming a lot. He's like, it's not about me. He goes, it's about my grandkids. He goes, there's another set of grandparents, and I'm going to win. I'm going to win as grandpa. I'm going to win. So we're in the pool, and I'm going to win. And so he's winning the race as being the grandparent. But what it looks like, the prize, keep your eye on the prize. So the prize of winning the grandparent race is helping raise a godly family behind you, your kids and your grandkids. You're helping influence them to live godly lives. Like the day you're done as grandparent and the day that you're, you know, leave this earth, you look backwards and go, I did everything I could to help influence and raise a godly family. So then what do? You have to chart the course. You have to develop a plan. And you lead your family to Jesus and you live by example and you develop a plan of what that looks like. You know, maybe that's, you know, creating conversations around the holidays, inviting them into church services so they can come and experience the God that you know. You know, so you have to develop a plan and then you live with purpose. You live every single day in a way that influences your family for Jesus, to take closer steps to him. Maybe you're the Christian business owner, you know, race. Maybe you just own a business or you run an organization or you're just, you know, you're an employee, but this is the thing, is that the prize would be to have a God-honoring business in the community or a God-honoring establishment, an organization in the community. So that's the prize, is being known as this is a God-honoring place. How do you develop a plan? So you develop a plan to get there. Everything about the business charts the course to glorify God and build his kingdom through things that your business can do, be a part of, invest in, offer, you know, income into. And then you operate your business every single day that honors him. See, this is what this looks like, is wanting to win. My prayer is this, that God today would awaken a desire in your heart to win. At whatever phase of life you're in, whatever season you're in, whatever God has put around you, maybe you're a parent today, maybe you're a coworker today, maybe you're in the grandparent shoes today. No, you know, maybe you're dealing with, you just moved into a new cul-de-sac and you got these neighbors or whatever God has you, because God has you somewhere for a reason. He's got people in your life for a reason. Can he awaken a desire in your heart to win at wherever you're at in life and what God has in front of you? Better dad, better mom, better boss, better neighbor. Because we all like to win. I remember a few years ago, I was on the sideline at EIU football, and the game was tight, and it got down to literally seconds left. The game was tied, and our field goal kicker was going to kick a field goal, and if he made it, we win. I think we must have been down by a couple. If we made the field goal, we won. If we missed the field goal, we lost. It came down to that. And it's like, you know, the sideline is intense and anxious because it's all now. They've played their guts out, and now it rests on one guy kicking. And this one of the players, number 32, Kamu Grugier-Hill, comes up to me. I'm standing on the sideline just like everybody else, just kind of watching. He comes up to me. He grabs my hand. He goes, Travis, we got to pray. We got to pray that he makes it. We got to pray that he kicks his field goal. We got to pray. We got to pray that we win this game. We got to win this game. Now, I don't know where my theology is on praying for that yet, because because I figure like the people on the other side of the field that are Christians are praying that he missed the field goal, and God's up there going, oh, I don't know what to do. So, you know, it's like, I just don't know if you pray to win, but I did because that was my team. I'm sure I'm going to pray with you guys. So I'm praying that we win, and I just remember Kamu going, we're going to win, Travis. We're going to win. Pray that we win. And he grabs my hand, and I'm like, I just remember that, and long story short, guy kicks field goal, and we win the game, and everybody's like, yeah, going crazy. Kamu had this heart to win, to come, and he probably just saw me. He's like, grabs my hand, we're going to win. Last February, he was on a different sideline. He's on a sideline that everybody in the league wanted to be on. This is Kamu winning the Super Bowl last year on the Eagles, and this is the same guy that has this huge heart to win. I would have loved, he didn't invite me to be on the sideline of that game. That would have been a good phone call to get. Hey, you want to be my personal chaplain at the Super Bowl? But you can just see it in his face. Like, just loves to win. And here's the thing. Sometimes we just got to come up and grab somebody else's hand and say, hey, let's do this together. Sometimes things are out of our control. Sometimes the outcome is like it's not in our destiny of figuring it out anymore. But all we can have is somebody by our side and have a passion deep, deep inside to win. I want to win as a dad. I want to win as a boss, and a leader here at the church. I want to win as your pastor. I want to win in the neighborhood. I want you guys to win. And guess what? We don't win on Sunday. Sundays is the day we come and we celebrate and we get ready. We win on Monday. And we win on Tuesday. And we win on Wednesday and Thursday and the rest of the week. And I want us to have a heart to win in life. At your job, under the roof of your home, with your grandkids and your kids, I want God to awaken something deep inside of us that says, I want to win. Whatever God has for you, where you're at right now in your life, may God awaken something in you that says, I'm going to win this. I'm going to be so much better than I was. Because God has a plan and a purpose for me right where I'm at today. Let me pray for you guys. God, thanks that you love people and you love us in this room, and you've created us with purpose. Help us, Lord, to understand the prizes that are in front of us, the goals, the objectives, the accomplishments that we can go after. And God, you can help us to be the better parent and to be a better employee or a boss and to honor you in everything that we're doing. Help us, Jesus, to develop a plan and to live with purpose. And God, I just know that there's some people in the room that may not even know you in a personal way. So help them get on the right team right now. Help them to call out to you as their Lord and Savior. Help them to reach to you, open up the doors of their heart. We know that your scripture says that you are knocking at our doors and you're wanting us to open the door and let you in. So God, we hear you knocking. There's some people in the room that need to hear God. He's knocking at your heart. So God, continue to call out our names and help us to be on your team so we can follow you in every area of our life. Help us to understand to be a Christian, that we give you our life and we ask you forgiveness of our sins and we follow you. Thank you, God, for all that you're doing in us and through us. And for those who are saying yes to you for the very first time, thank you, God, that you've called them home and called them onto your team. Help us all follow you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.